This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This is Catholic Weekend, episode 278 for the week ending June 27th, 2015. Well, howdy all, it's Father Corey. I'm at the controls of the train wreck again. Captain Jeff can't be here this week. Sadly, his mother had passed away about a week and a half ago, and the funeral is today. So we do ask you to keep the repose of her soul in your prayers, and keep Captain Jeff and his family in your prayers as well for peace at this time of sorrow. Many of the other panelists can't be here either because they're out traveling or doing Lord knows what. But Steve is here. Morning, Steve.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Yeah. And I have to say, happy birthday, Father Corey.
Well, thank you very much. This is probably the first time I've started off the show. I didn't have to look at my watch to see what date it was.
Well, congratulations. Birthdays are important. I always like to celebrate birthdays.
Oh, yes. I was joking. It's my 39th for the first time birthday.
Oh.
I really am 39.
I remember 39.
Yeah.
A little while ago.
I was going to say, that wasn't too long ago for you, was it?
It was longer than I want to admit.
I understand completely. I should mention for those watching the video why I've got this bright red scarf on in the middle of summer in Montana. Lynn Francisco, our producer extraordinaire, made this for me. She knitted it. Of course, she's very sneaky. She likes to make things and then she'll take it around. And according to the card, she got it blessed by Father Darrell at the CNMC that I was at. So she must have had to sneak this thing around in a bag or something so I wouldn't see it. Or for all I know, I saw her working on it and didn't realize it because I didn't know who it was for. I just saw her working, you know, knitting as she does, you know. She made Father Roderick's R2-D2 hat and things like that. And so she's epic knitter. So thank you, Lynn. I appreciate it. It will very much come in handy about January timeframe. Not so much in June, of course, but.
Yeah. Lynn's kind of sneaky. She's always working on something and they just sort of pop up in random places. So. But yeah, you're making me sweat just looking at you. So,
well, since I put it on, let's see if I can get it off without bumping something and making a lot of noise here. Because it's warm, which is a good thing. I mean, again, in the middle of winter, something like this is a wonderful thing to have. Again, it's going to be 99 degrees tomorrow, so I'm not going to be wearing that. Sorry, Lynn.
Oh well.
So how is your week going there, Steve?
Oh, you know, it's really busy. I don't know. I kind of wore myself out and I told you earlier, I was a little under the weather. I wasn't sure if I could do the show this morning, but cause I just woke up this morning just feeling really like I'd been hit by a truck, but I'm doing well now. And I had a great time last night. I drove down to Oklahoma City and for the 50th wedding anniversary party of my college roommate's parents.
Oh, that's awesome. 50 years. So, that's fantastic.
Aaron and Fred Knight. And they did it like a wedding reception. They had a video with the pictures and they told a bunch of stories and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just terrific. And I was glad that I had the chance because when I was in college, my roommate's parents sort of adopted me like another child.
Oh, nice.
My family was 500 miles away. And so sure. I didn't get to see them, but just a couple of times a year. And so I'd go down to they were farmers. They lived just outside Oklahoma City and they were wheat farmers. And I'd go down to their farm and they'd feed me all this homemade food and
Give
me a birthday cake and everything like that. And, she was like a second mom to me. And so when I saw her last night, I hadn't seen him in like 20 years. And I went down there and I just said, hi, mom. And she came over and gave me a big hug and everything. And it was just fantastic.
Oh, that is
really
that
had
is
a good time.
And I'm sure it was well appreciated as a college student, not having to eat dorm food all the time and stick around the dorms.
Yeah. Well, you probably have farm families around where you live, you know? They just they know how to cook.
Yes, they do. Yes, and they do. Because, you know, especially the older ones, they used to cook for very large families. So they had to know how to cook and cook well because they're feeding a lot of people.
Yeah. It's, you know, I eat out a lot now because I travel so much, but I get so sick of restaurant food and just something that's made by hand lovingly by somebody. It's got that extra quality that just makes it so much better, you know, because you know, they put an effort out for you.
You know, that's the funny part. Even, and I'm kind of the same way. I tend not to cook as much for myself as I should, though. I'm trying to do better. And even when all I'm doing is taking, you know, like some pork chops and throwing them in the oven, it seems to taste just a little bit better than when you go to a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's weird that way.
I've come to appreciate a finely grilled pork chop.
I think
I'd rather have one of those than a steak.
I don't know. Yeah, there's something about it. I don't know. I kind of enjoy it too once in a while. Though that being said, if someone plops a steak down from me, I'm definitely not going to say no.
Yeah. Yep. But what is it about the strange combination of a grilled pork chop and a sweet potato and applesauce?
I don't know.
It's like a magical combination.
Oh, I'm hungry. Okay, show's over. We're going to go make some pork chops.
Really?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, actually. I don't know if I've ever had it with the sweet potatoes, but definitely had it with the applesauce. And yeah, there's something about pork and applesauce that goes together so well. I think it's kind of like if you like lamb, it's like lamb and mint jelly. There's just something about it that goes together so well.
My aunt loves the mint jelly. I've never acquired that taste. It's just because the stuff I buy for her is like this bright green color.
Oh, yes.
And I just look at it and it's like, no, those don't go together. Those colors do not match.
It looks like something from an alien TV show or something, you know, the creature, you're going to come oozing out of it, you know.
Some sort of slime, yeah. I'm not eating slime. Take it away.
Yeah.
Well, how was your week, Father?
It was good. It was busy. Yesterday, you know, this is kind of my big weekend because today is my birthday, of course. Yesterday was the anniversary of my ordination, 7th anniversary of ordination.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow,
thank you.
It's easy to remember those 2 dates, right?
Exactly. They're
back to back.
I just have to remember which comes first. No, I kind of did it because of for seminarians and stuff. We had guys over in Rome at the time. We still do. And they get out, of course, they get out later. So I wanted to have them at my ordination. Didn't quite work out the way I planned, but it still kind of worked out. Anyways, it's easy to remember which is which. You know, so it was very good. It was I didn't have big celebration for my birthday or for my anniversary. One thing I love though are the prayers that go along with the anniversary of ordination. You know, the priest celebrates. It's the one day I joke that priests get to be selfish and pray for themselves.
Oh, I didn't realize that there were special prayers.
There are special prayers. And let's see here. I can pull it up. I took to announce on Instagram that it was my anniversary. I just took a picture of the book, you know, showing the prayers, you know, on the anniversary of his ordination. And they're really beautiful prayers. Let's see here if I can get it. Of course, my phone's going to act weird. So like the introduction is, Holy Father, who by no merit of my own chose me for communion with the eternal priesthood of your Christ and for the ministry of your church, grant that I may be an ardent yet gentle preacher of the gospel and a faithful steward of your mysteries. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. It's just beautiful prayer.
That's very beautiful.
Another priest, Father Christopher, he posted that it's a very humbling prayer, and it really is. The prayers are very humbling because they're showing what we are called to do as priests, and it's just, it's a big task.
Oh, yeah. I like the, what's the phrase of, through no merit of my own?
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. That is powerful.
Yeah, and it's also that recognition that the call to the priesthood is a call from God. It's nothing I do on my own. You know, unfortunately, I think it's easy for priests to fall into that trap of, especially if you get in a parish that's very supportive and, oh, Father, you're wonderful. We're so glad you're here and so on. It's easy to fall into that trap of, well, of course I'm wonderful. You know, get that pride going at that moment, you know. Not that I have to worry about that, but no. I have no pride whatsoever. Yeah, right.
Yeah. What is it they say? Never pray for humility or what's the other one? It's humility and
patience. No,
patience. That's it. Humility and patience. Because, yo, those prayers always seem to get answered.
Yes, they do. I always, the joke I have is, you know, when you pray for patience, the prayer isn't, God grant me patience and I want it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Because it doesn't quite work that way.
Now, last Sunday was Father's Day, right? Was that last?
Yes, it was.
So what do priests do on Father's Day? Do a lot of people, you know, wish you a happy Father's Day?
Some do. Some do. You know, of course, priests celebrate Mass on Father's Day because it's always Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, usually we will. Again, it depends on the parish. Some parishes are more conscious of this. You know, there's enough parishioners that are more conscious of it where they'll give priests cards or have a celebration. You know, a lot of times it's kind of funny here where sometimes I think Father's Day gets to be second to Mother's Day, where, you know, for Mother's Day, for example, the local greenhouse will donate small flowers, you know, ready to plant flowers. Mm-hmm. For the mothers. So all the mothers can take them. And, you know, it's basically anyone who's a woman can take them. You know, they aren't checking the mother's card. You know,
right.
you don't have kids in tow. You can't have them, you know, nothing like that. Which is good. I think it's a wonderful thing they do. They really don't do anything for Father's Day, though. I did hear of a parish that would give out beef jerky.
Oh, okay.
I think that's appropriate. I think that works.
Either that or, you know, there's a case of beer waiting for every.
You
know.
Yeah, there you go. Six pack in the back.
That's a little bit, yeah, mixed message there. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's so it really depends on the parish, how conscious they are of celebrating Father's Day, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then remembering the spiritual fatherhood of our priests, right, that we are fathers, just not biologically, mm-hmm, you know. So. That's all right. You know, it really depends. Again, it depends on the parish. So I didn't do much for Father's Day other than, of course, call my father and wish him a Father's Day and happy Father's Day and everything.
That's good.
You know, I definitely had to do that. And yeah, and just, of course, enjoy the afternoon once I was done with all my masses. Relax.
Oh, well, I was traveling last Sunday and I made it to the Last Chance Mass.
There we go.
Tulsa. Luckily, during the summer, the Newman Center at the University of Tulsa, where I used to work, during the summer, they have an 8 p.m. Mass.
Nice.
And it's great because it's usually full of people that are just coming back from the lake. And
oh, yes.
They're not the best dressed, but at least they're making it to Mass.
They're there. That's all that matters.
Yeah. It actually worked in my favor because my flight landed between Masses, you know, between the morning Masses. And I was glad I was able to make it because it's one of those travel days where you have to get to the airport before any Masses are available, and then you get home after they're all available, all the normal Masses are available.
Exactly. I've had a lot of days like that. Of course, I'm a priest, so I can take care of that for myself, but it doesn't help other people, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I almost would rather have Sunday evening Masses than Saturday evening Masses. I would almost rather change to something like that, where there's an 8 o'clock Mass, mm-hmm, instead of a, you know, 5:30 Saturday evening. First of all, because it keeps us in the reminder of what Sunday's about.
Right.
You know, I think people can fall in that habit of, well, Sunday mornings when they get up to go golf or fish or do yard work or hunt or whatever it is they do on Sunday mornings, instead of going to church.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it a few times and I've kind of come away with a feeling. It was like, well, I'm getting Mass out of the way so I can do what I want. And
exactly.
I don't like feeling that way. So I avoid the Saturday Masses whenever I can. And that's, my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Do it for other reasons. But
theologically, there's nothing wrong with doing the Saturday night Mass. There really isn't. We believe in, you know, the anticipatory Mass. We fall, you know, kind of like the Jewish practice of the day started at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though we stretch that because if we did sundown around here, it would be about 9 o'clock at night. But right now, at least.
Yeah. Really?
Actually, I think it was it yesterday. I think it was 9:15 and the sun was still just above the horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like this. This is my favorite time of the year when we have the really too. Long days.
Mine too. 4:45, it's just starting to get light, and you know, 10 o'clock at night, it's still pretty light out, and yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I've become December 21st, you know, the shorter days of the year. It's like, oh, please, just make the days go faster.
Oh, I remember when I, you know, before I entered the seminary, when I was doing the commute routine where I would commute to work and the sun wasn't up, and I would commute home and the sun was already down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, middle of winter. And it's just like, this is depressing. When you have to turn on the headlights both ways, that's depressing.
I worked in Chicago for a few years, and in the depth of winter, the windows in the office building I was in would ice over.
Ooh.
And so you couldn't see out. And then you'd go to work in the dark and you'd leave work in the dark and you couldn't see out the windows. And it was like working in this big tomb or big refrigerator or something. Oh, it was terrible. It's awful.
Yeah.
But I grew up in the desert, you know, where it's sunny 360 days of the year.
Exactly.
That was really hard for me.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
I always hated that kind of that kind of time when and of course being a rural, I'm like you know, I'm from a rural area. So you expect to be able to see things.
Oh, I know. I have this need to be able to see to the horizon on a regular basis.
Exactly.
I couldn't live in a forest. When I was in Papua New Guinea, where we lived, it was very lush, full of coconut palm trees and things like that. And you really couldn't see very far. And even though we were kind of on an inlet of the ocean, all we could see was across the inlet. We couldn't see the open ocean. And there were times where I just have to take the truck and drive down the road to where I could stand on the shoreline and look out to sea just to have the sky opened up. You know, I was like, oh,
sure.
I guess I have a weird sort of claustrophobia.
You know, I know the feeling. I'm the same way. The seminary, Mundelein Seminary in Chicago area. It's a beautiful seminary. I mean, it's a beautiful campus. It's something like 900 acres with a 100 acre lake right in the middle of it.
Wow.
Tree line. It's just covered in trees. The area that's not the actual campus is just covered in trees. I mean, it's just beautiful. And first of all, it was kind of a retreat for me because it's also in the middle of suburbia. Any direction you go, you're in the middle of suburbs.
Uh-huh.
So for that drives me nuts, first of all. And then it was a respite because at least I could get away from people once in a while. You could go to the other side of campus and just kind of find a place to hide. But it was still frustrating because you couldn't see very far. You know, same kind of thing. I was used to being able to see for 30 miles. Mm-hmm. All you saw were trees. But fortunately, you could go to a couple of spots where you could kind of look down the lake and get to see something, you know, get to see a little bit more sky, a little bit more open.
Yeah.
You know, and that helped a lot.
I think any city dwellers listening to this are probably like, what is wrong with them?
But yeah.
I understand completely what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we had guys at the seminary that thought they were out in the absolute sticks. They thought they were out in the absolute middle of nowhere. And it's like, you have no clue. You have absolutely no clue. Walmart's 5 miles away. There is people in traffic everywhere. Dunkin' Donuts is 1 mile away. I mean, really? We're not out in the sticks.
Yeah. Well, I know when I travel and I cross to the eastern side of the Mississippi River, and the population is so much more dense there that I immediately feel all the people around me. And it's like, just too many people. There's too many people.
Exactly.
Back to the west.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the exact feeling I have. That's why it felt, you know, even like going to Atlanta for the CNMC, as much fun it was, it felt so good to get back to Montana.
Well, I'm looking forward. I'll be up there in August.
I
told you that my brother and I and some of our family are going
to
go up to Glacier National Park, and they're in northern Montana.
Now, how are you getting up there? You know,
we're going to fly to Chicago, and we're going to have like a little family reunion with some family that lives there in Chicago.
Okay.
And then we're going to take the train, take Amtrak west from Chicago to Glacier.
That's right. You mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a 29-hour train ride.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right. You'll leave. Yeah. I've made that trip quite a few times because, of course, that's the Empire Builder train. And that's the one I would take when I was at seminary and when I was living in Chicago or Portland for Mount Angel Seminary. It was always nice to be able to take that train. It's a beautiful ride. You get to see a lot of North Dakota and Montana, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of it will be in the dark, but yep. it'll be fun to share that with my family, my brother.
Oh, I think you'll enjoy it a lot. It's a great trip, and I always enjoy it. And of course, Glacier itself is absolutely stunningly beautiful. I love Glacier Park.
That's what I hear. I can't wait.
Yeah. Make sure you let me know when you get on the train, and I'll wave to you the next day as you go by.
Okay. I'll tell him, blow the whistle for Father Corey.
There you go. I'll have one of my train whistles. Yeah. Yeah. Let me know which car you're in. I'll make sure to stand out there and blow the whistle. No.
Really? I want to see you with a flag or something on the side of the road. Hey, yeah. Steve. Hi, Steve. Father Corey has lost it. It's time to transfer him.
I'll wave Lynn's, the scarf that Lynn made me, because it's nice and bright red. You'll definitely notice it.
Oh. Hey, you know, there's been lots of stuff in the news this week.
Yes, there has. To be clear, we aren't going to talk about the Supreme Court decision today because, frankly, we still need to digest it and we probably should have more people here talking about it. So, yeah, what else has been in the news?
Well, some news that's really particularly exciting to me is we received notice. The Archdiocese of Oklahoma City got notice that the I'm going to say this wrong. The Vatican Commission on Saints. I'm not sure what the full
Congregation for the Cause of the Saints.
Yes, they have approved Father Stanley Rother, who is I think I've spoken about him before, but he has a cause for canonization, and they've approved. Declaring him a martyr.
Excellent.
So that means that there's another couple of steps along in there, but it means that Pope Francis can declare him to be beatified without having requiring a miracle.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So just a little bit about Father Stanley Rother. First of all, if he is beatified, he will be the first American-born priest to be beatified and the first American-born martyr.
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's awesome. So
it's a big deal. Anyway, so he grew up on a little wheat farm out in western Oklahoma, a town called Okarchi. It's sort of a German town. Rother is a German name, and so it was a lot of German settlers that came when Oklahoma was being settled. And, you know, he had a strong desire to be a priest, but he kept failing Latin.
Oh, wow.
he kept failing it. And they sent him, I don't know how many different seminaries he went to. I think it was three. Mm-hmm. But he managed to get enough Latin under his belt. This was back in the 50s.
Okay, sure. Back when everything was in Latin, pretty much.
Yeah, 50s and 60s. But he managed to get enough under his belt that the bishop approved his ordination.
Wonderful.
And so he spent the first few years of his ministry in Oklahoma, various parishes. But at the same time, the Diocese of Oklahoma, at that time, there was one diocese in Oklahoma, Diocese of Oklahoma City. They had opened a mission in the town of Santiago Atitlan, Guatemala. Hmm. It's a Mayan town.
Okay.
And the tribe in that area is called the Zutuil Maya. Hmm. And they have their very own language, and it's very difficult language. Very difficult language. Anyway, so Father Rother decided that he would go there and be one of the missionary priests there. And so he was there, and he stayed for about, I think it was about 18 years or so. And in the midst of that time, Guatemala got into a civil war. If you remember back in the late 70s and 80s, there were a lot of
civil wars in that part of the world, yeah.
Yeah, the same sort of things were going on with Bishop Romero in El Salvador, about the same time. Anyway, so during that time, Father Rother, he had a real strong outreach to the poor people in Guatemala and was trying to help them. You know, was teaching them farming. You know, came from a farm background, so he was teaching them farming and building houses and doing a lot of things to help the economy and to help find jobs for people. Anyway, he was a real outreach to the poor people. Okay. Well, because of that outreach, the right-wing military government took a dislike to his activities, and they accused him of siding with the rebels.
Mm.
And so he came home for Easter in 1981 and was preaching to people and was telling them about the situation there. And apparently he said some things that the government took offense to. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think ahead here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, so he found out that his name had been placed on a death list, and they had these secret death squads that were going around the country assassinating people. And he could have stayed home, but he decided that, you know, the phrase he used was, is the shepherd does not run.
Ah.
And so he went back to Guatemala in April of 1981, knowing that he was on this death list. And sure enough, he was murdered in the rectory of the church in Santiago Atitlan by a government death squad.
Lufta.
Yeah. And so I have a strong connection to him because when I was campus minister, I used to take students down there to that mission and work with the people there and help build houses.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So I got to meet people that he knew, and I got to meet people that he baptized, and I got, we used to have mass in the room where he was murdered. It's been turned into a chapel. And so we were able to immerse ourselves in his life and his mission down there. And I have a real strong affinity for him. So this news that he's been approved as a martyr, which isn't an easy thing, you know?
No. Sorry.
Well, I said they had to do a lot of investigation to make sure that his death wasn't purely political, but that there was a real hatred of the faith involved.
Right.
And, you know, and they have to scrutinize everything he said and everything he wrote and everything like that. So for him to pass that hurdle is a real testament to him. And I can't tell you what a boon to the people of Oklahoma and the people of Guatemala it will be if he's beatified and eventually canonized.
Well, that's fantastic though. I mean, it's horrible the martyrdoms that have happened during that time. And you think also of Archbishop Romero at the time. And I know that was one of the concerns you mentioned about it, whether it was expressly political. And there were some concerns with Archbishop Romero, but they said no. There definitely was a religious aspect to it. But it's wonderful that this priest who dedicated his life to serving these people, who was very much unjustly killed, that he's going to get the recognition that he deserves and is going to be someone that I think we need to ask for his intercession we reach out to those who are maybe not always the most popular in the political or in the political sphere, so well, this is awesome news though. I mean, it really is fantastic for the archdiocese.
I know. And then the Catholic internet around Oklahoma just exploded with this news. But we've never had our own saint, and just the encouragement that would bring to a state like ours. We're only 3% Catholic here.
Mm.
And anyway, I'm excited about it. And I hope I live to see his beatification, and I'm going to go wherever it is. If it's in Rome, if it's in Oklahoma, if it's in Guatemala, I'm going to go. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. That'd be definitely worth doing,
Yeah.
And maybe they will do it there in Guatemala, because I know the Pope has been pushing for that more, to do the beatifications and canonizations locally.
Yeah, but there's some, nobody seems to know if he's an Oklahoma saint or a Guatemalan saint or both.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that always gets to be confusing sometimes.
Well, he's buried in Oklahoma, but his heart was removed and it's enshrined in Guatemala.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, I visited both of his
relics, huh?
Yeah, both of his relics. Yeah. So anyway, I'm excited. I can't wait to see how it turns out. And I certainly hope that they, apparently now it has to go to a commission of bishops and cardinals for approval and to recommend it to Pope Francis.
Yeah. According to the article on Zenit that was linked to it, this was just the theological commission of the congregation. So now as I understand it, it probably will have to go to the full congregation itself.
Okay.
For final approval. which means it could be any time now. You know, it could be within the next couple of years that they say yes.
Well, the Archbishop in Oklahoma City said that we should know by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, good. Yeah, that's pretty quick. And yeah, since it is a martyrdom, it does skip a lot of the time consuming steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that helps a lot.
It'll certainly be a highlight of my life if I can venerate him as a blessed.
So. Oh, very cool. Yeah, definitely. That'll be pretty awesome. Yeah, it's interesting, the connection, though. I like that about going down there. I've never had the opportunity to go down to Guatemala or any place like that.
It's a wonderful place. It's fairly dangerous.
Sure.
You know, Guatemala is right, you know, it borders Mexico on the south. And so a lot of the drug cartels and the drug trafficking goes through Guatemala, and it's just wreaking havoc on the country. But when you're in the town of Santiago, which is around Lake Atitlan,
sure,
it's surrounded by different Mayan tribes. When the Spanish came in and colonized, they forced the different Mayan tribes into this one area around the lake. Mm-hmm. And so every little village is a different Mayan tribe. They speak different languages. They have different customs and things.
Interesting.
And the Zutuil are one of the bigger tribes. I mean, they were also one of the last ones to give in to the Spanish. And they have a warlike nature.
Oh, but nice.
They're a very tight-knit community.
Mm.
You know, they're very poor, but they share amongst themselves what they have.
Oh, nice.
So there is a good example to work shoulder to shoulder with them, building houses and to speak with them about, you know, their view on things.
And, interesting. Very interesting.
It was one of those great experiences where we could actually go and build a house, but it wasn't about building a house. It was about mm-hmm. being there and sharing that with them and talking with them.
Definitely. Being able to go and meet these people from different cultures it's a wonderful experience. I know mm-hmm. I've had it over in Israel when we lived there during my seminary time, going and spend time, just being able to go and meet, and really kind of broadens your horizons, your understanding of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to see things through a different outlook.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities.
So many of the students over the years have told me about how those experiences were life-changing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got on to be doctors and teachers, and sure, some of them have been missionaries of their own, and they all point back to that and say, that really changed my whole outlook. And, you know, said I'm a less self-centered and selfish person than I was after those experiences.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. You can tell I'm excited. I've just been babbling my head off, so I apologize to our listeners.
Interesting. It's been interesting to hear. And, yeah, you know, hopefully soon we'll be able to ask for his intercessions as one of the saints.
I know. And then I'm going to drive up to Kansas City. I'm going to pound on Paul Camerata's door and say, you are going to do a podcast about this.
I'm going to make you.
You are going to do a saint cast about Father Stanley Rother, because I can't do it the way you can do it.
There you go. Maybe you guys could tag team for that one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I'm inspired now to post some pictures of Santiago on my blog. You know,
yeah, look forward to seeing those. That'll be awesome.
Some of the trips I took there with students, because it's a fascinating place.
Cool. Well, you know, I think we've kind of hit that point where we can take a quick advertising break here. I think we've been going for about a half an hour.
Oh, I think it's longer than that, actually.
I forgot to look at my clock on my computer when I started the recording. So, but anyways, let's see if I can remember these again. I always stumble over them. But, you know, make sure SQPN is, you know, it's a nonprofit organization. It relies very much on your contribution and your support to put together these podcasts, to do what, you know, Father Roderick, to do what he does for us here on Catholic Weekend, to do what we do. I mean, we use a lot of tools, and we need the support of SQPN to put them on. So please do be generous with your support with SQPN. I know people have in the past, and I know people will be in the future. One way you can support SQPN is through the Amazon link off the SQPN.com website. You can go to the site there, click the Amazon link, and then do your shopping. I've done that before with other organizations, and I know they get a pretty decent little cut of it. It doesn't cost you any more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same price whether you do it directly from Amazon. Amazon just gets a little more profits in that case, or go through the link. You can also do the smile.amazon.com. If you don't have that currently set up for another nonprofit, you can set that up with SQPN. I do believe SQPN does get a little more money from doing the affiliate link. Mm-hmm. But either way, SQPN does get a cut of what you buy. And again, it doesn't cost you any more. You don't lose your Prime shipping or anything like that if you do it. Mm-hmm. So it's very much, please consider doing that next time you're buying from Amazon, because it can really help out this organization. Mm-hmm. Also, another way that you can support SQPN is through signing up with Bluehost for your web hosting. A number of the panelists, I know Steve's one of them that has Bluehost as his internet or his web hosting provider. And I know they've all said very good things about it. So it's very much a service worth subscribing to, don't you think, Steve?
Oh, yeah. When I first signed up for it, I didn't have any clue about how to set up my blog, how to install WordPress or anything like that. And they made it so easy. You know, basically click here, answer a few questions, and they've got pretty good customer service, you know, to help with questions. I've never had any issues with it. And in fact, they have contacted me on a time or two where they noticed a problem that says, oh, you know, something's configured a little wrong. You know, maybe here's what you should do to fix it.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was really helpful.
Well, excellent. Well, I mean, it's always good when you have a site where it's affordable, it's reliable, and it has good service, you know, good customer service, because there's a lot of those services out there. Yeah, they might be reliable. You could go with something with, like Blogger if you just want to put on a blog. It's reliable. It's affordable because it's free. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get customer service from Google. I'm sorry. They don't provide customer service unless you pay them lots and lots and lots of money. And even then, it sounds like it's kind of questionable. So,
well, that, and those free services like Blogger and WordPress.com, they because they are free, they have built-in limitations on things. You can't go in and add features that you might want. Exactly. Like if you want to do some e-commerce or some other things, so they have restrictions.
Yep.
I started with a WordPress.com free account, and then I migrated to my own account.
Yeah, those free sites are excellent for just checking it out if you're just trying to learn the skills of blogging. But if you want to get serious about it, then you need to do something like Bluehost. Mm-hmm. So if you're at that point, if you're thinking about moving to a permanent host, if you've got a permanent host, something I need to do eventually, I think probably when my current contract runs out, current subscription runs out, I'm with a different provider. I'll move over to Bluehost so I can support SQPN. Give them a little bit of a cut of your sign up. So please do consider doing that. So thank you again to all who have supported SQPN in the past and all those who will continue to do so in the future. So Steve, what's your plans for this summer? I know we're kind of the first month of summer's over. What are your kind of your plans going on here?
Well, you know, my job right now is I'm totally focused on my fraternity sorority's national convention, which is coming up at the end of July.
Oh, wow.
And our registration surged in the last week or so. And I was expecting maybe 500, 550, and we're up to like 750, going to hit 800.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. Well, it is nice. But, you know, before it was like, oh, we're not going to be able to fill the rooms. And now it's like, oh, my gosh, we're going to fill the rooms.
Your rooms. No.
Yeah. And, and our hotel block sold out, and the hotel is completely sold out. And so I'm dealing with issues like that. And so I don't expect I'm going to have much of a summer until I get to the 1st of August when it's all over.
Sure.
And then I'm going to go to Glacier and I'm going to hide from people.
That's a good thing.
That's right.
A good thing.
I'm going to turn my phone off.
Yeah, that's a very good thing. I know that feeling well. It's like, oh, I didn't get your message. Why not? Oh, because I turned the phone off. I started hearing from people. So I asked because the Dominicana blog, which I know we've mentioned before, it's a site put on by some Dominicans. They've listed 11 Catholic things that you can do this summer.
Oh.
So the first one they have is read a novel. Now, they don't mean just any novel. They don't mean just picking up like Hunger Games or, you know, hopefully definitely not 50 Shades of Grey. Hopefully no one listening to this podcast has ever even touched that book, much less Reddit. If you have, that might be something you need to take confession. But they recommend a couple of books that I've read that I highly recommend. Lord of the Rings, of course. You know, Tolkien was very Catholic, and he was very clear that there were Catholic themes within it. Canticle for Leibowitz by Walter Miller Jr. It's a future dystopian where the world had basically, you know, it was written in the 50s. So you can imagine that the basic theme was the world had nuked itself. Uh-huh. You know, the countries had nuked themselves. And one of the few pockets of civilization were abbeys, Benedictine abbeys. And it surrounds this Benedictine abbey, which was founded by this St. Leibowitz, who actually was like a NASA engineer or something like that. It's not really clear what his experience was, but he was very much kind of in that realm and as an engineer, a scientist. And later, after everything started falling apart, founded this abbey and was then declared saint and so on. And it goes through how this abbey was responsible for, defending civilization, collecting the knowledge of civilization, books and so on. And as civilization redeveloped and, you know, things like printing press were rediscovered and stuff like that, how, you know, this abbey was responsible for that. It's very interesting. Very interesting book. If you like science fiction, it's considered to be one of the great classics of science fiction as well. It's not just a good Catholic book. It really is on one of those, you know, you see those lists of, you know, great science fiction of the 20th century. It's usually on there.
That's Willa Cather, right? Who wrote?
No,
that's the next one.
That's the next one.
Yeah.
This is Walter Miller Jr. I don't know if he wrote other things, but the
Canticle for Leibowitz. Book. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Yeah. If you like science fiction, if you like those kind of dystopian novels, it's good because it still provides hope. Even when you see just kind of humanity going through its cycles, you know, history's repeating itself. It still provides that hope that humanity is going to survive and that civilization is still going to survive. And of course, that Catholicism is still going to survive.
You know, I think I'm going to enjoy that because I've read quite a few of those dystopian novels and and they're so dark and so depressing.
Yeah. And
you know, the final five people on Earth and they all kill each other. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, big government isn't going to go away at the end of the story, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Another book that it recommends is Death Comes for the Archbishop by Willa Cather. I know I've read that. We had to read that at seminary, and that was another excellent, excellent book.
I think I've read that. Where's that one set? Do you remember?
Santa Fe.
Okay, I have read it, yes.
Yep.
But I didn't think it was Willa Cather. I thought it was somebody else.
No, that's, I think it is. I've got the book on my shelf. Of course, I'm not going to run over and get it, but I recommend it. I really enjoyed reading it. It's kind of a fictionalized, as I understand, a fictionalized version of the life of the first Archbishop of Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. So this was back in the 1700s, I want to say. Something like that.
Right.
I can't remember exactly when it was based off of. I recommend that one as well. That one's very, very enjoyable. There's a couple others here I haven't read, but that one also I highly recommend. I really enjoyed. Walter Percy is another one author they recommend. Kristen, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name, by Ingrid Unset. There's actually a joke about on Eye of the Tiber about this book. I've never read it either.
Oh, really? Kristen
Lavrin's daughter.
Lavrin's daughter, yeah.
Something like that. And I'm sure somebody's going to say, no, Father, it's well, okay. You got to read it. It's wonderful. Okay.
It's obviously like a Scandinavian name, so
yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure we're butchering it.
So, another thing you could do if you have time this summer is you can go on a pilgrimage. And of course, that's always worth doing, you know, going to see a shrine or going to see some, like a basilica or something like that, if you haven't been able to go there. And then again, they recommend some excellent places to go, some absolutely beautiful places. Basilica, the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in D.C., which is my absolute favorite church in the United States, bar none.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's amazing.
I've been to Washington, but I've never been able to make it to the Basilica.
Next time you get to D.C., you absolutely have got to go. It's one of those places you walk in and it's just you can feel the grace of God. I mean, you can just feel the spirit in that place. It's beautiful because all the little shrines are different images of Our Lady. different, you know, titles or apparitions or, you know, so there's one of my favorites. I think it's probably a very popular one is the Chapel of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is all mosaics. And it shows Our Lady of Guadalupe in the middle. And then the indigenous people of, you know, the people of actually it's she's in the middle. And then it's people of Central and South America on one side and peoples of North America on the other side.
Oh,
all lined up around, you know, kind of around the chapel. It's kind of a rounded chapel.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's really interesting.
There's just some beautiful. There's some of those that are a little different because they're very European, you know, modernist European. Mm-hmm. But most of them are just beautiful shrines.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, that one's definitely worth going to. There's the Cathedral of St. Paul, which is another national shrine and Cathedral of St. Paul in St. Paul, Minnesota. Another one I've been to, mm-hmm. another very beautiful church. So many others. You know, the St. Francis Xavier Silo Shrine in New Orleans. And, you know, any shrine, even if it's a little one, it's a big one, it's worth doing a pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much. Yeah. And, you know, I've done pilgrimages in Europe, but what I like about them from my own personal perspective is sort of preparing yourself for the journey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just don't, it's not the same just to get in the car and go and then experience the shrine. I think there's something about preparing for the journey so that it's, exactly. The journey is a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, that's the traditional thing of a pilgrimage is making the journey.
Yeah. You know,
pilgrimage is as much getting there as it is being there.
Right. You know,
and to do so in a kind of a prayerful way. Now, at least we don't have to do pilgrimage like they used to do where it was always on foot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be back in a year. You know.
Well, you know, I did a portion of the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, awesome.
We did 2 weeks of walking. And I have to say though, you know, the getting there was the hard part, obviously, mm-hmm. but I think it really, when you finally walk through the doors and you'd reached the destination, I can't explain what that's sure. like, you know, unless you've done it yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. No, I understand completely. Yeah. I've done several pilgrimages, but nothing quite like that. I've always been driving or flying pilgrimages. So mm-hmm. not quite as difficult. I've wanted to try to do the Camino someday, but not anytime soon, unfortunately.
Oh, I really want to do it. I want to do the whole thing or, you know, start at the border of France and go all the way across Spain.
There we go. SQPN, pilgrimage on the Camino. Let's do it.
Yeah, you know, but I have a lot of mixed feelings about, you know, I went with two of my Newman Center students. And, you know, I was like, well, do I want to do it solo or do I want to do it with a couple of close friends? And but part of me just says, I don't want to do it with a group of people.
Yeah.
People that I don't have an intimate connection to.
Sure. No, understand completely. No, it's that those pilgrimages are always hard to do.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But I do want to go to the Holy Land. I really do. That's the top of my list.
Oh, it's worth doing. It really is worth doing. And it's worth doing a good pilgrimage where you can spend some time there.
Yeah.
You know, I've done, like I said, when I was in seminary, we lived there for 3 months and got to really know the region. And then I did a pilgrimage, of course, last winter where I was over there for 8 days, 9 days. And it was, you know, it just felt rushed. I mean, yeah. It was a good pilgrimage. You got to, you know, we got to see and pray in a lot of very wonderful spots, but it's not the same when you can go and spend a day at a spot,
yeah,
you know, or, you know, a significant period of time. It's just not quite the same.
Yeah. When I go, I want to go with one or two people and I don't want to have an itinerary, you know, that, you know, at 10:30 a.m. you visit this church.
Exactly.
And, you know, you get back on the bus at 10:40 and
yep.
I don't want that. I want to be able to go and experience it. You know, on the time that it takes.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we've got a car, we're heading to Nazareth, go. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we get there, we spend the time there till we're ready to go on to Cana and go, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No, that's the way to do it. It really is. And I've wanted to do that as well. Just,
well, next time you want to go.
Anytime. It's just affording it is always the question, you know.
Yeah.
They're expensive. Some of those pilgrimages can be expensive.
Yeah.
So another thing you can do And I'm going to lump these two together because I think they would work together. Organize a barbecue and watch an outdoor movie. Now, what they say is, you know, I recommend the cooking advice of St. Lawrence. I'm done on this side. You can turn me over now. I love that story.
Yeah.
Just total sarcasm. He's being grilled and I'm done on this side. You can turn me over.
Yeah.
It says, eat some good red meat or I guess pork. You know, we talked about, you know, grilling pork is always good.
Yeah.
Mm. And have some Trappist beer.
And applesauce. Yeah.
And applesauce with the pork. And then make sure to invite those neighbors who might not know how much fun Catholics be. By the way, when I was in Atlanta, the Catholic drinky, Sarah, took us to a liquor store that was absolutely blew my mind. It's the size of my grocery store here in Malta.
Oh my gosh, really?
Oh, wow. I mean, it was, of course, we've got a small grocery store, but the fact that they have a liquor store that big is just, I love it. I wish we had one of those close by. But I was able to get some of the Spencer beer, like Father Daryl did, the Spencer Trappist beer
made in
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Excellent, excellent beer. Of course, you know, portion it out carefully, you know, only a bottle or two at a time. You know, we don't want to waste it. You know, I've shared it, but I don't want to waste it. Excellent beer. So, but then it, you know, it recommends watching an outdoor movie and it picks some of the good classic Catholic movies, you know, On the Waterfront with Marlon Brando. Uh-huh. Excellent movie. You know, just the priest figure played by Carl, I'm blanking on his name now. I can picture him. I just can't think of
Carl his name. Malden.
Malden, yes. Yeah. You know, just excellent character. I mean, just very cares very much about him, but he's a very solid figure as well. Even as he's being abused, he's still standing up for the people mm-hmm. out there. Another movie, Beckett with Richard Burton. Again, you know, classic saint movie. Mm-hmm. Scarlet in the Black with Gregory Peck. Have you ever seen that one?
I have, but it's been a long time. It's with the Nazis, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's Father Hugh Flannery. I'm not even saying his name right, but, you know, Irish Monsignor, who was working in the Vatican. I want to say he was working like in the working with, I can't remember where he was working. I'm sorry. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I can't remember exactly where he worked, but he did a lot to whenever POWs and Jews would come into the Vatican City, which of course was not occupied by the Nazis. The Nazis occupied Rome, but not the Vatican City. Whenever these Jews would make it over the line and the POWs, the Allied POWs, he would get them out of the city. He would get them to safe houses and then get them out of the city. Hmm. And in the safe houses, many times were convents, monasteries.
Oh, okay.
So these POWs would be living with nuns for about a month or so until they could get, you know, safely get them out of the city. And it's just an excellent movie. Of course, you know, Gregory Peck, it's got Gregory Peck and Christopher Plummer.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to remember who the German Nazi yeah. officer was.
It's Plummer. Yeah, Christopher Plummer was the head Nazi.
Ah.
Who it was just, and so, you know, it's some excellent actors. It's, you know, it was done in the early 80s. I think it was like a made for TV movie in the early 80s. So the production values might not be the best, but it's still just an excellent movie. Very, very much worth watching.
I bet it's based on a book, I would imagine.
It is The Scarlet Pimpernel of the Vatican.
Okay.
I believe it's called. Just, I actually need to get that book as well because I love the movie. I've watched it several times. I've borrowed it out to others. I have it on DVD. And it's just a wonderful, fun. It's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It really is. It really is just a good, fun movie, but it's got a strong message and it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, there's some fairly violent scenes as you might imagine for a war movie in occupied Rome.
Mm.
You know, the
I have to look that up again. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Very much worth. So many other things here they recommend here. We're kind of running out of time. Somehow we actually used up an hour.
We seem to do well together, just the two of us.
That works. It works for me. So yeah, definitely check out this list. There's a lot of good things here you can do, including evangelize. You can evangelize over the summer. So I think we've hit that point of the pick of the week. Do you have one yet?
You know, I didn't even think about it until just this very second. off top of my head, since we were talking about Father Rother, if you go to the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City website, I believe you can find a link to purchase a book of Father Rother's writings called "The Shepherd Does Not Run," and it has his letters in it that he wrote about during the time of the conflict in Guatemala. So the letters that he wrote before he went home, and then after he went home, before he was murdered. So I recommend that. They're inspiring.
Excellent. So
"The Shepherd Does Not Run," and I think you can get it on the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City website.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. It's another book to add to your list to purchase if you haven't. So definitely a good one. And my pick of the week is something I know we've promoted in the past, and I think we let it slip this year, is the Fortnight for Freedom. Oh. You know, the bishops have done this for the past couple of years, where it's taking 2 weeks. You know, fortnight's a word we don't use a lot in the United States. It's used other English-speaking countries, but it's definitely not used here very often. But it's 2 weeks of prayer for freedom, of, you know, reflecting on our freedom and prayer. And the theme this year is the freedom to bear witness. And the focus they want is to, you know, to celebrate and remind ourselves of a series of great martyrs who, this is reading off the website, who remained faithful in the face of persecution by political power. And they list St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher, over in England, of course, St. John the Baptist, Saints Peter and Paul, and the first martyrs of Rome. And the focus is the freedom to bear witness in the truth, to the truth of the gospel. Very much, frankly, something we need in this country. We, you know, how many times do we hear people wanting to change freedom of religion to freedom of worship?
Right. Right. You know,
they want to make religion something you do in your homes, you do in your churches, you do in your private gatherings, but you don't do it in public. So
I know, it's a very subtle attempt to change the conversation.
Exactly.
And their meaning of, yeah.
So you can find links to more information about the fortnight off the bishop's website. Of course, we'll put it in the show notes here, so you can link off of that. But please do check that out. It's been going now for about a week. It started last Monday, but it's still not too late to join in and to start praying and to start looking at the materials that they provide to pray for this country, so that we might truly have celebrate and enjoy our religious freedom. I know I try to pray at every daily mass that our elected officials will support and defend our religious freedom. And of course, we as citizens here in the United States and those in other countries that also believe in a religious freedom need to support and defend that right to their religious freedom. So do check that out. Mm-hmm. Well, we've actually reached the end, Steve.
Wow.
So where can people find you if they want to check out your pictures from Guatemala?
Everythingesteban.com. And excellent. I will try to do that this afternoon.
Excellent. And I know you've put up, there's some excellent pictures out there from the CNMC and other things you've done. You put out some really great pictures. I love looking at your pictures.
That seems to be the best that I'm able to accomplish right now, because I'm so busy that I don't, you know, there's things I'd like to write about, but I just don't have the time to put it together. So yeah.
Pictures are a lot quicker, point and click anymore. So
yeah.
And of course, you can find me at frcory.org, frcory.org. That's my website where I post my homilies. I should be doing writing on there as well, because it is set up as a blog. I just never use it. And then I always joke, Facebook, Instagram, Untappd, Google, whatever. You can find me at all those little things, most of them anyways, at frcorystica, last name spelled STICHA. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a great week and a very blessed Catholic weekend.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.